I want to begin this morning by having you imagine a couple things. Some of you might be golfers, and imagining, and I know this requires probably a lot of imagination, a really excellent, great round of golf. And going through this wonderful round of golf, high above any expectation or anticipation, you get to the last hole, and the last hole becomes a total disaster, throwing strokes away left and right to some unimaginable score. And so this wonderful picture of a day, this wonderful round of golf, is ruined then by this last experience. Or perhaps many of you are cooks and prize yourselves in preparing wonderful meals for your families, and you're planning a big family gathering, and the meal is all being prepared and all ready to go, and at the very last minute, something is burned and something is ruined. So all of your expectations then kind of go down the drain as far as what you had hoped for. Or if you're a talented and gifted sculptor and you've been working on this piece of marble for a long period of time, making this image that was in your imagination now come to life in this marble, and then on one of the last very chips of that statue, it cracks in an irreversible way that kind of ruins the whole creation. Keep those pictures in your mind for a moment. These pictures of things of great wonder or great experiences or great beauty then that often can be ruined. As we look at and study Jesus and the drama that he experiences, and that with Jesus is a dynamic demonstration of God's will and of God's greatness. We have been looking in the past weeks to the stories of chapter 7 in Luke. You may remember the story of the centurion sending some of his friends going to Jesus, asking him to heal his slave. And Jesus brings healing to the centurion's slave. Or the other wonderful picture of Jesus going to the town in Galilee, and there is a funeral procession of the widow's only son, and how Jesus resurrects that son and brings him back to life. These beautiful, touching stories that are shared. The scene now shifts to the courtyard of the home of a Pharisee by the name of Simon. Simon had asked Jesus to come and to eat with him, to join in a table fellowship. Now we know that the relationship between the Pharisees and Jesus was a complex and often difficult one. Many of the Pharisees had taken a hard line, had taken a hard stance over and against Jesus. Others, they gave Jesus a fair hearing. Simon maybe fell in between those two categories. He invites Jesus to come and to share the meal, to be part of this table fellowship, but at the same time, he ignores the social customs and conventions of his day. He does not offer the traditional courtesies that were expected as far as greeting a guest with a kiss of peace, or upon the guest's arrival, pouring cool water over their feet, or perhaps anointing their head or placing flowers on their head to celebrate their arrival, to celebrate their presence in your home. And so these social customs have been ignored by the Pharisee Simon. But as we picture then this courtyard with the doors left open as they traditionally were, a woman in the community who is described solely as a sinner, makes her way in. She enters with a jar of ointment, we are told, which would be extremely costly and expensive, with the sole intent of anointing Jesus to perform these acts of welcome. These social conventions that had been ignored. We read about how she never gets beyond, it seems like, the use of her own tears. And in a great act of immodesty, she lets down her hair in public to dry Jesus' feet. And so we have this incredible contrast between Simon the Pharisee and this woman who is a sinner. This beautiful display of love that this woman shares with him. It's the type of thing that it seems like with Jesus and the beauty of the gospel is you get it or you don't get it. You get it or you don't. And so I want to test you this morning. There are two fish in the tank. One of them says to the other, "How do you drive this thing?" Either you get it or you don't. Why can't you stand a bike on its own? It's too tired. You got that one. Or the guy who says, "I wonder why this baseball is getting bigger." And then it hit me. Got one more? At this wonderful emotional wedding, even the cake was in tears. Okay, so you get it or you don't. Simon the Pharisee is conscious of no need for forgiveness. This sinful woman, what is her sins? We do not know. But we can relate and we can associate, because in the sinful woman, we see ourselves. The sinful woman is conscious of nothing else, her sinfulness, and a burning need within her. Aware of the kingdom message that Jesus is and has been sharing, this exuberant generosity that Jesus preaches of, a surprising grace of God, and this wonderful dedication, the actions of the woman are not a result of having received forgiveness or any favor. But apparently she had seen Jesus and heard his message and recognized God's extravagant forgiveness through him. The beautiful picture that Jesus had been painting. And she discerns Jesus is acting out God's will. It so often saddens me and troubles me when we look in our own world and our own society and see the ways that the gospel message is frustrated. How so many people have a closed mind like Simon the Pharisee. So often our biases get in the way, our assumptions, our own conclusions, and our own prejudices that diminish this beautiful message of Jesus. This beautiful message of grace and acceptance and forgiveness, of bringing new life and new hope to all. Recognizing who we are. My oldest daughter works in the airline industry, so I'm very familiar with many of the stories that take place. This one didn't come from her, but it was about an airport setting where a flight is canceled, and we know what that's like. Many of us have experienced the chaos on the concourse of an airport. And so then at the gate, there are many angry passengers. And so one in particular pushes to the front of the line and says to the person at the gate there, "I need to be on this flight and I must be in first class." The wonderful patient woman working at the gate says, "Take your place in line, sir. We'll make sure that we take care of you." The man becomes more angry by the minute. With a red face, he says to her, "Do you know who I am?" And this wonderful gate agent, this wonderful woman, picks up the microphone and says, "Attention on the concourse. We have a man here who does not know who he is." "If you can help identify him, please come to gate 4. And the crowd applauded. We recognize who we are, but also then, through Jesus, we recognize how God sees us. That we are sinners, yet recipients of this wonderful and beautiful grace. Invited to a table fellowship, which shows us that we are acceptable to God, that we are welcomed. We see how Jesus challenges this idea of separation and exclusion to include all. And we recognize that we are part of this fellowship. Amen.